Well, the lady said, I'm with First Stone Teresa. Like Teresa said, I'm with First Stone Ministries. First Stone Ministries received its name from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 7, which says, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. And the reason why we picked that verse is because we are a ministry of compassion and reconciliation and teaching and biblical discipleship and counseling for those who struggle with relational and sexual brokenness. And that particular verse has to deal with a woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. And so we picked that as a ministry verse. And we have many more that we like to talk about. And really, Genesis is a very much a home of where we come from in our ministry. And you'll understand that more as I share further. First Stone Ministries is a member of Exodus International. And what Exodus is a network of ministries offering support to those who desire to deal with and leave or find freedom with really sexual distortion. We call that homosexuality and lesbianism, and not exclusively, but because Exodus deals a lot in that area, we deal a lot with that, and that's one of the reasons why I'm here in this ministry. But we help in areas of sexual abuse and people that are addicted to pornography. With the event of having the internet, a lot of people are finding themselves struggling with internet pornography, sexual addiction, gender confusion, cross-dressing, transvestism, and transsexuality. So when you hear the word sexual brokenness, that pretty much covers it. Of course, adultery and broken marriages are usually a lot of relational brokenness. And a lot of us may even understand or even come from broken homes. So we deal with a lot of that. And so we offer services, support groups for those who are struggling. We call this program we use out of Desert Stream Ministries in California called Living Waters. It's an awesome time of really in-depth Bible study. We have a time of worship and then a teaching and then a small group time. And that runs from September to May. It is a closed group. It's a confidential group. It's an awesome group. We have church. And we meet Jesus. And it's an amazing thing. You know, when people are really broken and they're really seeking the Lord, what God will do, especially when you humble yourself. So we do that. And then we have also a support group for life-threatening illnesses. Because we deal with homosexuality, it's given us a lot of inroad to minister to people who contract HIV and AIDS. And we have another subsidiary ministry of ours called Servant Heart. And they do the Embracing Life support group. And that's not just with people dealing with HIV, but it was primarily developed out of that. There's people that deal with, like we had one guy dealing with lupus and other life-threatening illnesses. We also have a parent, family, and friends group that meets once a month. And we have a wives group right now. It's discontinued. But our primary focus is to offer Living Waters. And we do a lot of one-on-one biblical discipleship counseling. We do public speaking like I am right now. And we have a website. So if you can't get some literature on the table, there's a website, www.firststone.org. All spelled out, firststone.org. And there's lots of articles, lots of testimonies, and lots of good information there to help people that want understanding or need help themselves. The reason why I'm in this ministry is because the Lord Jesus Christ turned my life upside down going on 21 years ago. And I'm going to share with you a little bit about that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, we comfort those with the same comfort that we ourselves have received. And that's why I'm in this ministry, because the Lord Jesus Christ set my life on a path of total deliverance and healing. And I want to share some of the scriptures to platform on what I want to share with you, what God has done in my life. Psalms 107, verse 20. I can get there. says, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness. Psalms 19. I'm going somewhere with all this. Psalms 19, starting in verse 7. It says, The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes, and the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, more to be desired than they, than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. And moreover, by them your servant is warned, and keeping them there is great reward. Psalms 30. The word of God was sent to me, and He healed me from my destructions. And I wanted to share some of that with you. Psalms 30 verse 1 says, I extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up, and you have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave, and you have kept me alive, that I should not go down into the pit. Thank you, Lord. And then Psalms 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me, and He heard me. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock, and He established my steps, and He's put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear, and then they will trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts towards us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. So here I was, and give you a little bit of history. In my childhood, I grew up in Catholicism. And my dad was stationed here at Tinker Air Force Base. My mother was from, she was a war bride from England. So my mother's full-blooded Irish, or was. I lost her in 97. And she, so that makes me half Irish. And anyhow, they got stationed at Tinker Air Force Base, and I was born there. And I was raised in a Catholic home. And as I started growing up and started thinking about the things of God, actually, I remember telling my parents one day I wanted to be a priest. Well, I'm a priest now. Come a long way around, but I'm a priest now. Priest unto the Lord. And I was raised in a pretty dysfunctional home. There was alcoholism and there was abandonment with my dad, in that I did not relate well to my dad. And my dad was gone a lot. He was stationed all over the world in the military. He was in Thule, Greenland. He was in Taiwan. He was in all kinds of places. And so in very formative years of growing up, dad was not present in my life. So I had a broken relationship with my dad, and I didn't have the male affirmation that I really needed. And by the time that I could have really used it in going into puberty, I had built up so many walls around my heart that dad couldn't get in, and even if he wanted to. So then about age 7, I was exposed to pornography. And it came about in this really defiling way, with my brothers bringing in the Playboy magazines. And there was an article in there, and I wasn't overtly masculine as a 7-year-old little boy. And his friends began to tease me, and they showed these graphic pictures, and the article was about whether or not you had homosexual tendencies. And they began to put these pictures in front of me and ask me, you know, what I felt and thought. Well, you don't do that to a child. So I immediately had distortion entering into my mind. And then, at about age 6, I was molested by one of these men that were supposed to be my brother's friends, that was babysitting me one night, and set me up in the chair, looked me eye to eye, and began to tell me that I wanted this, and began to molest me. Well, that messes up a kid a lot. And then about the age of 9, there was a neighbor outside the state that had visited the next door neighbors. And the reason why I'm telling you this, I'm going to give you some history so you can understand why somebody would choose a lifestyle of homosexuality. Because that's what the Lord Jesus Christ has delivered me out of. I mean, I'm absolute queer in here, in your face type mentality. And the Lord has delivered me and set me free, and is continuing to deliver me and set me free from all kinds of things. But we have questions, you know, everything that is, we're being barraged by all sides. And the media is telling you that it's normal, it's acceptable, and people can't change, and people are born this way. And I'm here to stand to tell you, to testify about the Word of God, that the Word of God will change your life. It's changed my life, and He delivered me from a horrible pit. Out of the miry clay He delivered me, and He has set my feet upon a rock. Many will hear of it, and some will praise the Lord and trust Him. And that's what I'm after, just to bring glory and honor to God. But a lot of people have questions. How do people get there? Well, I'm going to share out of my own brokenness. And that's how it started with me. Now, if you would have asked me in 1978 or 79, you know, why do you think you are in homosexuality? I would have said, well, I'm born this way. And I would have never made or connected the dots to the seriousness of the distortion and the brokenness that had entered into my life. I didn't even know that this was molestation. I was so broken. And so many times the people that we minister to, they've either associated or legitimized or in denial about some form of sexual abuse that they've encountered or sexual distortions. And you know what? Quite frankly, with this age group, there's probably not very many people in this room that have not been assaulted with sexual distortions in childhood. How many of y'all went to public school systems? Oh, that right there tells me you've been assaulted. And a lot of distortion. So the door was open to me for a lot of distortion to enter in, to begin to question my identity. So then I went into this place of entering into puberty around 12, 13 years old. And then we were out of town visiting another family, and this friend of the family was going to teach me a new game. And that entered into the world of understanding sexuality for me. So as a teenager, I had a lot of distortion and pain and anger. And I didn't know why I was so angry. I didn't connect the dots to the sexual abuse and the dysfunction and the actual defilement and the conviction that I had, even as a Roman Catholic growing up, and all the stirring up inside of me. So then I began to think, I'm attracted to guys, and I can't control this attraction, so therefore I must be. So I got really depressed, and I didn't know there was a gay community. In the 70s, it wasn't as blatant as it is even in here in Oklahoma. I mean, it was just not blatant like it is now. And so I thought I was a misfit. And I got very depressed and suicidal. And then one of my friends showed up, who was several years older, drives over and says, well, I know what your problem is. I know why you've been depressed. And I was like, how do you know? Nobody knows. And he said, oh yeah, I know. And he said, you think you're gay. And I just was floored. And he said, oh, I'm bisexual. It's okay. And then I was introduced to the gay community and lies, lots of lies, and began to embrace this identity. So at the age of 14, I entered into a gay lifestyle, which is actually a death style in that it's a road to death. That's part of what the Lord has done for me. He delivered me from being absolutely, totally, physically destroyed. So I ended up in lots of broken relationships, and I began to seek after male affirmation in the wrong way. I tried to be, you know, as a Catholic mentality, and, you know, you don't believe in divorce, and you want to have fidelity, and you want to have, I mean, isn't that, it's kind of bizarre as a homosexual, but I wanted to be married, and I was going to have a faithful relationship. A lot of people I've had been in debates, have been with other gay people, and they say, well, you never were. So, hey, you come back with me about 25 years ago and how I used to feel. I was there and in your face. And so then, so I ended up in this very painful, I didn't know it was painful, I had some fun in the gay lifestyle. It was wild and crazy. Traveled, met lots of prominent people in Oklahoma City. Lived with a guy who was a vice president of the largest bank in Oklahoma at that time. We had lots of money and we traveled, got to do lots of fun things. But there was a sinking, dying thing happening in my soul. Because in 1981, my little brother, who was proving himself to be a man because he had a queer brother, had to go into the military and ended up ODing on alcohol and die. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ used that and the loss of my brother to make me open up to the idea of eternity. So I struggled for another year or two, but I'd been crying out to the Lord, and that was in 1981. And then I had a girl who was going to make me straight. Well, that didn't work. And if that's called the good old boy techniques. And it don't work. Because homosexuality is not about sexual problems, really. It's about relational. It's about how we relate and who we are. And so then I was received a track in the mail. It was one of these old chick tracks. Have you all seen chick tracks? Little comic book tracks. Somebody I'd gone to high school mailed me one of these in the mail. Wrote me this long letter. And it was called The Gay Blade. And it actually, there was some things in there I had never seen before from the Bible. And it kind of scared me about the whole story about Sodom and Gomorrah. And so the guy I was living with at the time was an Episcopal of a very large church in Oklahoma City. He was an elder in that church, by the way. And he said, oh, that's just a bunch of trash. Throw that away. So I threw it away, and I'll never forget, I remember going into the kitchen and throwing that into the trash, and I heard this voice say, you're throwing away the truth, or something like that. And I just remembered having this incredible feeling like I was throwing away truth. But I just hardened my heart, but I became more and more depressed. And before I know it, I entered into a place of moving back home and just wondering about life, trying to figure it out. And then one night I had this this friend come up from Texas and wanted to take me out partying. We went out partying, and it was a bar that's no longer there. It was called Graffiti's up on Broadway Extension. And we had lots of fun that night. And then the next morning we went to her sister's house out in Nakoma Park in a trailer park. These people were in love with Jesus Christ. These people talked about Jesus in ways I had never seen. And I was in this living room and I was watching their testimony towards her. They weren't trying to witness to me. They weren't trying to do anything. So many times when people ask us, they say, what can we do to help our loved ones? You know, they're gay. You know, what can I do to help my friend? And I have to ask, what kind of lifestyle do you live? Do you live an uncompromised, holy lifestyle? Are you loving? Are you gentle? Are you merciful? Are you kind? In other words, do you bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Do you represent Jesus Christ? These people were in love with God, and all of a sudden, they're talking about Jesus doing this and Jesus doing that. And I'm sitting there as a Catholic going, these are some weird people. I mean, they are weird. Jesus answers their prayers. Jesus coming and going from their house, sounded like. I was going, man, Then all of a sudden, and I didn't know this is what it was, but all of a sudden the Spirit of God came upon me. And my heart began to pound. And I knew I needed to know Jesus like these people knew Jesus. And so women were talking and talking and talking, so I wouldn't say anything, so Lord took the women out of the room. And then it was just me and this guy, okay? Me and this guy. I mean, I wasn't saying anything, okay? Well, it's a known, proven fact. Women speak, 30 to 40,000 words a day. Guys speak 15 to 20, right? So they were still on their, we were already done with our 15,000 words for the day because it was late in the evening. But anyhow, so I was sitting there and he was just sitting there and we actually were watching TBN. And they had turned TBN on. And I was just sitting there and I was going, man, these people are fanatics. And then all of a sudden, my heart started pounding and I heard this voice. And I didn't know it was the Spirit of God, but the Lord spoke to me. In my mind, it wasn't an audible, booming voice, but in my mind he said, if you don't accept me tonight, you're going to die. If you don't accept me tonight, you're going to die. And I just knew I needed to connect with God like these people were connected with God. So I looked over at him and I said, hey, I need to know Jesus like you know Jesus. And he looked over at me and he goes, well, brother, the Lord is calling you. I said, yeah, I guess so. I mean, my heart's pounding. If you don't accept me tonight, you're going to die. I said, yeah, he's calling me. I need to know him like you know. So he led me in the sinner's prayer. And something different happened that night when he was praying for me. In the Catholic Church, there's always a big crucifix and there's this altar. And I saw Jesus in a way I'd never seen him. I saw him on the cross suffering. It wasn't like this plastic, or ceramic Jesus up there. It was a Jesus suffering and dying, bleeding for me. And I put my faith and trust in him. But that's when all hell broke loose. Because later on that night, Mary, this girl I was with, she goes, so, does this mean you've changed? And I said, I don't know. I didn't know. I didn't have enough truth. All I knew is I just needed Jesus. And I said, you know what? I guess it means whatever Jesus has for me. So I went home and I got the big Douay version of the Bible out. It's a Catholic Bible. Big old family Bible and pulled it out. Blew the dust off of it. And I go, okay, God, show me. You know what? If you want to know the truth, He'll show you the truth. Right? He will. If you want to know. So I prayed. And like how some Bibles have, like right here, titles above. Well, in this Douay version of the Catholic Bible, it's a good version, actually. It's much like the King James Version. And so I was kind of thumbing through and I was going, Lord, what about homosexuality? What does it say in this book? Because I'd already began to believe that this was the Word of God. From the moment I got saved, from the time we drove from Nakoma Park over to Dell City, that's where I lived, across the street from Bailey Smith, which that's a whole other story, which was really cool. Don't recommend giving your testimony after 7 months of being walking with the Lord in front of 1,000 people. He had me share my testimony. It was a good thing with Sandy Patty at Starlight Crusade, and man, that was a crushing, but it was a good thing. So anyhow, there I was in my bedroom down in this house, and I was thumbing through, and it says, wow, laws on homosexuality and sexual sins. And I looked down, and wow, there's the verse. You shall not lie with a male as one lies with a woman. It's an abomination. Now, I don't recommend that verse for power evangelism to the gay community. Okay? You're not going to go very far. But I was a seeker, and I wanted to know the truth that night. So God sent His law to me. Galatians 3, I believe verse 24 says, the law of God is a tutor to lead people to Jesus. Okay? It's a schoolmaster. So I needed to know just how sinful and utterly needy I was. Really, you don't really start loving Jesus with all your heart until you finally realize that. You know that. Jesus said that in Luke 7. He said, those who love much have been forgiven much. And actually, every one of us in this room need to realize just how much we have been forgiven before we really love much. It's not just for the pathetic sinner. It's for all of us. And so He gave me this. And then I notice, wow, there's another verse. Leviticus 20. Verse 13. If a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. I didn't like that. That meant I was supposed to be put to death. Anybody in here supposed to go deserving of hell? Few of us are deserving of hell. Well, I found out I was deserving of hell. The law revealed to me that I was should be put to death. And that broke me. And so that night I got down on my knees and I began to pray, God, help me. Because I'm a mess. I have believed lies for years. And then I started understanding some things about the soul and spiritual warfare and some places I needed, some desperate, deep inner healing where I'd been sexually maligned, sexually abused, where I needed the Lord Jesus Christ to come into the places of the broken of heart and minister healing. And He did. And I found a pastor and a church that were in love with God. And they were just loving Jesus, and He ministered to me, and He did an incredible work of grace in my life. So I shared those scriptures in the beginning. You see, the Lord delivered me from a horrible pit out of the miry clay. He saved my life. Because in 1983, when I totally surrendered my life over to God, it was February 6, 1983. That summer, we heard about something called GRIDS. Gay-related immune deficiency syndrome. Terrible disease that we now call HIV. More than half of the people that I knew in the gay lifestyle are dead. They're gone. Two guys that I was involved with are gone. If I would have went back and embraced perversion, I would be dead. See, when He said, if you do not accept Me tonight, you're going to die. If you do not accept Me tonight, you're going to die. It was mercy. Mercy. He sent His Word to heal me. His Word is awesome. And I love Him with all my heart for what He has done for me. So now, I went through a process of lots of healing. I went to seminars. I went to deliverance things. I went to inner healing things. I went to Bill Gothard. I went to all kinds of stuff. And you know what? God used all of it. And it's awesome. And so I've been on the road now, and I'm still on a journey. And you know what? I don't know how, you know, you get 20, 30 years in the Lord, you still realize, man, there is so much more He wants to do inside of us to make us holy and pure and separated unto God. And if we don't stay close to Him, probably everybody knows 1 Corinthians 10:13, that says that no temptation has taken us, but such as common to man, but God is faithful. He'll give you a way of escape. But the verse right before that says, he who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. You know, I get questioned and asked, you know, well, could you go back into homosexuality? Well, yeah, I could. But God has done such a work in my life that I don't want. Matter of fact, He has removed desire and perversion out of my life. But I remember. And, you know, I was at a church a few weeks ago, and one of the questions was, well, what about people who still have thoughts? Does thoughts, you know, if you're having thoughts, and I said, you know what? I said, I minister to people on a weekly basis, sometimes as many as 5 people in one day, one-on-one, in 60 to 90 minute sessions. And you know what? Sometimes they have to confess some pretty ugly stuff to me. Guess what I have to think about while they're confessing? Guess what hits me? You have to learn to take your thoughts captive and not allow your thoughts to control you. And you learn to dedicate your life, and then you invite the presence of the Lord in your life to where you walk in freedom. And so, anyhow, He's put me in this ministry. I got married in 1986. I've been married now going on, almost 17 years. I have 3 children. My wife had a daughter out of wedlock, and I adopted her, and she's 21. And I have a 15-year-old son and a 12-year-old daughter. And so God's doing you know what? I minister to a lot of married men that deal with homosexuality. So marriage isn't a badge of healing, but it is a badge for me of a journey that God has taken me on and brought some healing through that aspect. Because now, I understand a lot about the Father Heart of God. I'm the executive director of First Stone Ministries. First Stone's been around about 26 years. Exodus has been around about 27 years. And it's getting a lot of recognition now with a lot of ties with Focus on the Family. And so people are starting to know who we are. With the event of how much perversion there is going on in our society, this is something that the church cannot ignore anymore. And some churches haven't been ignoring it for a long time. I venture to say in this room that somebody in here is probably struggling with homosexuality or lesbianism. Or in a group this size with as much exposure, there's been probably many people in this room that have been sexually molested and abused. That needs to be confessed and you need to receive healing. In a room this size, I bet there's been a lot of people who've suffered divorce and broken families. In a room in this size, I bet there's a lot of people that know other gay people. So we need understanding. We need to grow. So some of the, I want to talk a little bit. We are till what time? Now? 8:15? We're okay? All right. What time do you usually go to? I don't remember. What? Okay. Some of the causes, people ask, a lot of questions. Well, how does this happen? Well, you heard some of the things out of my testimony. Early child development and experiences. It's not about nature. It's about nurture. Okay? Some of you guys in this room may actually be struggling with sexual addiction. That has to do with actually of how you related well in an intimate and godly way with parents. In a way that you could bring your sexuality in a place that holds it in purity. It's amazing how many guys, when I teach on the subject of whether or not masturbation is sin and what God thinks about it, and I ask a question, I say, how many in this room had dads teach you and hold you accountable in the area of sexual purity, specifically in dealing with masturbation? Guess how many hands go up? Hardly any. There's a great article downstairs, by the way, and everybody should get it, which we didn't bring that many. But it's on our website. It's called, what is it called? I think I've got it here. Something about breaking the silence on the M word. Because, we don't like to say that word. So the M word. And then it also talks about the downsides. And we talk about in our ministry about so much of these broken places and help people to identify them. Family breakdown. A lot of you know about how divorce is affecting people. Exodus 25, people say, well, I think people are born that way. Do you know what we're born with? We're born with a sin nature. That's what we're born with. Everybody is born with that. It's amazing how many people I minister to that deal with heterosexual sodomy. That's defiling and it's broken. And we need deliverance from these things. We need purity. And people are messed up because of the sins. If anything is passed down, it's the sins of the forefathers. Exodus 25 says they're passed down to the third and fourth generation. Brokenness. Relational brokenness. Okay, and another thing, well, I've felt these feelings ever since I can remember. Well, temperament may have something to do with it. God-given temperament, personality, gifts, and interests, and then we stereotype. Well, he's a fag. Just a little sissy. a little queer. Well, she's kind of like a boy. She's kind of butch. We stereotype people. And you know what is an incredible thing? More than 85% of the people that walk through our door have ministry callings on their life. Some of the most wonderful people that are talented in music to minister to the soul have struggled in this area. I have ministered to hundreds of people, thousands in the last 18 years. Ministry callings on their life. And Satan assaults them. And assaults them in their childhood, distortion, and then the bullies in school. I had a guy in art class every day in eighth grade. Black, you fag! Black, you're just a fag, and you know you are a fag. Every day, art class. Third hour. Could always... Oh, boy, that was encouraging. Not. Peer pressure and brokenness, verbal abuse, sexual abuse. Those are some of the causes. Some of these causes, like the absent father syndrome, the lack of healthy role models, affirmation of masculinity, has nothing to do with sex. Has everything to do with the need of father hunger in a person's life. We call that psychologically, defensively detaching. Either, you know, I don't relate well to dad, so I'm not like dad, so I must be weird. And so then that there's this wall that's built up, and you wall off from dad. And so then you come into this place of real loneliness, and then maybe distortion enters in, and before you know it, you're having lots of bizarre thoughts when puberty enters in. Doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, the males that we minister to, 60-65% have been sexually abused, the females is much higher. It's really sad how many girls have been sexually abused. And I mean, if they've been sexually abused, it makes sense. Women are safer. Because guys are nothing but, you know, sex predators. That's how a woman will look at it. Men and women are made differently in the area of sexuality. So much. And so men go into sexual perversion this way. Women are much more emotional and relational. Becomes very idolatrous. A passive or absent father, overprotective mother, dominating mother in the home brings distortions in relationship. Pornography, I've talked about that. Inability or sometimes an unwillingness of the child to relate to the same-sex parent, talked about that, which brings actually gender insecurity. I mean, if you can't talk to anybody about these things that are going on in your life, you're going to be in a world of torment. You know, I'm sure many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Not necessarily talking about homosexuality, but just sexual feelings, sexual struggles, relational feelings, relational brokenness, distortions. Well, those are some of the causes. And a lot of time people say, well, how do we minister to people? You know, how are we going to help these people? Well, you have to deal with the roots. Not just some of the causes and not some of the external things. And some of the roots, you may very well understand yourself. Anybody in this room ever been rejected? Hello? No one in this? Oh, few hands. Yeah, can you understand rejection? Does anybody like rejection in this room? Nobody likes rejection, right? I mean, we can understand being rejected. Well, that is a major root cause. But then the person is actually not just being rejected, they reject their own identity and their own self. Insecurity. So they compare themselves among themselves. You know, I don't feel like I'm the Mr. Macho Man like he, and so, you know, you start having all this insecurity. A lot of us can understand that. A lot of us compare ourselves even... not even struggling with something as confusing or perverted as homosexuality, and we do that, right? Anybody compare themselves among themselves? Ever done that? Anybody? Everybody. Everybody has done that. And if you're saying you haven't, then you're probably not telling the truth. We've all dealt with those kinds of things. So we can understand that. You know, don't let the video screen come in your mind when the guy or girl says, I'm struggling with homosexuality, and you start thinking about the acts. Start thinking about the person. You know, one thing I remember when my little boy was 5 years old, and it was incredible. My five-year-old picture of him, of me, and his picture are almost identical. And I was so broken, I thought if anybody ever touched him, I would want to kill them. So many of these people have been so wounded. And some of you in this room, I know you've been wounded. And God wants to heal you. God wants to bless you. We can all understand that, can't we? So we have people have things that they need to deal with, like self-hatred and anger. So much anger. Anger towards God. And bitterness. We understand bitterness. So much of what the homosexual is struggling with is anger and bitterness, insecurity, fear, envy. You know about envy? Anybody ever envied or covet? That's what it's about. Narcissism. Anybody know what narcissism is? It's loving of self. You know, or putting, what we deal with in the ministry is putting out the false self. I remember when I was young, I would, of course, one of kind of the hangouts was, and this may shake up some of you, was the gym. And not everybody at the gym is straight. And that was one of my hangouts. And it was so funny. Now, looking back, I can see how narcissistic so much of the thing is of actually worshiping and serving the creature rather than the Creator. Right out of Romans 1. I was really into that. So broken. Such a false self putting out. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't work out. I think it's a great thing to work out. I can't hang out a lot there. It brings back too much stuff. I've gone some over the last 10 years, and I can do it now. But when I first started this walk out, that was the place that was the bad place for me. A lot of brokenness. Idolatry, and women and relating, there's so much emotional dependency or emotional idolatry. Impurity. And then there's another area, and I'd love to read this scripture. We'll wrap it up here. In Ephesians 6, verse 10. Just verse 12. And it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I mean, what is our fight against? Something we can't even see. Let me read it to you out of the Living Bible. It's a paraphrase. It's not really a Bible. It's just a paraphrase of the actual scripture. But it says, for we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against persons without bodies. But against persons without bodies, they are the evil rulers of an unseen world, those mighty satanic beings and great evil princes of darkness who rule this world, and against huge numbers of wicked spirits in the spirit world. Sounds kind of scary, doesn't it? Now, if you knew there were five guys standing outside your house and they were like 7 foot tall and they had biceps as big around as your leg and they were wanting to come in to kill, steal, and destroy in your home, what would you do? Would you do something? How about 911? Would you do that? Get a bat? Get a gun? Would you protect yourself? Sure you would. It's amazing how many Christians don't believe this. They do not believe this. They don't believe we're in a spirit. They don't even show up for the battle that we're wrestling against demons. Spiritual forces. And the assault that comes against our mind. It's amazing how many times I'll be sitting with someone in my office and I'll say, when's the last time you resist the devil? Well, when's the last time you took authority over Satan in your own life? It says resist the devil and he will flee from you. It's amazing how many times, well, I didn't know I had to do that. Well, 1 Peter chapter 5, Verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." You know what devour means? Devour. It means eat you up. And guess where they assault us at? Right here. And, you know, sometimes the Lord requires confession and humility to bring empowerment. That's called grace. Especially in the areas that are shameful and broken. That's why this ministry exists. It's because a lot of times people aren't safe in the church. Do you know how many people that we minister to are Christians? More than 95%. They're upstanding members in your church. They're people in the church. I have ministered to pastors, worship leaders. I have ministered to Sunday school people, teachers, political leaders. I've had the honor to minister to lawyers and doctors. People that don't feel safe to talk to anybody. Are you a safe person? See, it begins with you. Are you safe? So that we understand this. Let me wrap up with this. So you understand we're in a spiritual battle. For counseling and discipleship, you know, you must know how to minister to pull up and out the roots of rejection, bitter root judgments, misogyny, which is a nice big term for hatred of men, misandry, hatred of, or misogyny is hatred of women, misandry, hatred of men, the spirit of ungratefulness, which is coupled with guilt and shame, condemnation, minister child sexual abuse, abandonment, rejection. Oh, masturbation? Is that even, you know, does God say anything about that? Did you know it's not in the word masturbation? It's not in the Bible. But He has a lot to say about selfishness. Get that handout. It's really good. And there's a handout on pornography down there too. Everybody get them. Get as much as you can. Copy them. Give them to everybody. Sexual sin and brokenness. What does it really look like to be healed? If you have that question, what does it really look like to be healed? Get that article downstairs. Pornography, defensive detachment, insecurity in one's gender, emotional dependency, grief. Grief is another big one. And you must know how to do spiritual warfare. You must, and I'm going to tell you what, it's all about being level at the cross of Christ. You must yourself know about the forgiveness and the mercy of God at Calvary's cross. Self-acceptance. Spiritual gifts, temperaments, personality profiles, love languages. Maybe you've heard of some of those things. Motivational gifts, spiritual gifts. We need to know. We need to be secure in ourselves and help other people find this. Okay. There's two different kinds of people. There's the hardened and the seeking. You know, the best, if the person is hardened and they're not seeking, you are the testimony. You are Jesus to them. And it's not good old boy techniques. That's not what's going to help the homosexual, the person that's sexual, dealing with sexual brokenness. Don't condemn. They already know they're condemned. They're trying to justify. It's like they're trying to claw up out of a pit. But if they are seeking, then you deal with these root problems and ask the Holy Spirit to give you discernment. So, does anybody have any questions for me? Yes? So, you know, the question is, you know a guy who struggles with homosexuality, and how does a girl relate to a guy who's struggling with homosexuality? Well, you need to understand some of the root problems that he's dealing with as a homosexual. Let me say this, God's never created a homosexual. There's no such thing as a created homosexual. You know what there is? Heterosexuality is defined by the creation. Male and female, He created them. Okay? So, you as you befriend him, if he's seeking, if he's wanting help, if he wants understanding, then get a lot of this literature tonight. It gives you, there's some literature down there on how to help a friend, get understanding, understand some of these roots, and help him. But don't think your relationship, and a lot of girls do this, don't think your relationship somehow is going to straighten him out. The goal, and especially if somebody's struggling with same-sex attraction, the goal is not marriage, people. You know what the goal is? It's the same goal we all have. Jesus. Jesus. Okay? That's the goal. And then when he gets connected up with Jesus and walks with Jesus, he'll receive healing. And then if marriage is a part of the plan, but, you know, you're not going to straighten up some girl because you think you're so masculine. And you're so beautiful in your femininity that you're going to somehow straighten out this guy. It ain't going to. That's not what works. It's Jesus. And so befriending him and giving him the truth, if he can, listen to it. Point him to us. Point him to the website. Get the information. Anybody else? Scary. Okay. Was somebody else? Okay. I really encourage you. And, you know, the internet is really great. There's a lot of articles out there, a lot of great stuff out there. And if you're struggling with sexual brokenness yourself in the area of impurity, please get it right before you ever enter into marriage. Please get it right. Learn to get self-control now. Now. Amen. Thank you.